Good morning, Wisconsin.
Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 7:03 on the clock. Have your host, James J. here. I am joined by Seth Habhager.
Good morning, everyone.
We hope you're having a great start to your day out there, and you can stream us. It's a little issues. Issues this morning. We got some fun stuff to get into this morning. We're going to dive into our National Day of calendar just a little bit, actually sooner than usual. We're also going to get into a study that found about something interesting about commuting to work.
Ooh, okay.
That was a good one. We've also got self-driving cars to talk about. I feel like that's going to be an issue at least once a month for a while here.
Oh, boy.
And we got to talk Super Bowl, Seth.
Do we?
We have not really been able to talk to Super Bowl much this week. I'm excited about the game this Sunday. I wish it was today.
Mm.
We've got a lot to talk about there.
Yeah.
We'll get into that throughout the show. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to that. 9 o'clock hour, we'll get into some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day. But we'll start the 9 o'clock hour off, like we have been for a while now on our Thursdays, with our Pet of the Week from the Southwood County Humane Society.
Mm-hmm.
The Collar Club is our sponsor this week, and a big shout out to them. Amazing people over there.
Yes.
I was just there last month with my fur brother, Sam.
Nice.
Sam suggested it. Sam said, I like this. They're called the Collar Club. I can relate to this. It's relatable to me as a dog. I like it. And it turned out the people were there were amazing and gave him an awesome cut.
There you go.
Worked out.
He needed a break. You know, even pets need a little break now and then.
They do.
Pampered a little bit.
It's a really nice building over there, too, that they've got. It's actually in my old stomping grounds when I first moved here to Rapids.
Oh.
So it's kind of nice to go back over there.
That's cool.
And great, great people over there.
Mm.
If you got a little furry friend, bring him over to the Collar Club.
Yes, indeed.
We'll talk more about them and our Pet of the Week a little bit later. I'm so excited to see what Madison brings in today.
Yeah.
Don't know what she's bringing in. We don't know.
An ocelot.
Elephant, maybe. Maybe. You don't know. We got to listen to find out in 9 o'clock hour. We're also going to talk a little River Kings, because River Kings, of course, have a playoff spot already set.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a matter of seeding and a matter of going into the playoffs hot. Seth, as a lifetime hockey fan like myself,
mm-hmm.
what is the best thing you can have going into the playoffs?
Momentum.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And that is all about the goalie. You want your front couple lines
yep.
going good and everything, but it's all about the goalie.
Mm-hmm.
We've all seen anybody that watched hockey, watched the Stanley Cup. You've seen at least, I can think off the top of my head, three or four times where a team that shouldn't have won it all because of Dominic Hasek
yes.
or Patrick Roy or one of the
one of those goalies that gets hot. You're right. You're absolutely right.
So it's certainly in any sport. You know, mm-hmm. you want to go into the playoffs hot. In football, you can rest some guys. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
in baseball, we see that a little bit. If a team that's already got it, you know, like the Yankees mm-hmm. last year, they got it wrapped up or something like
right.
that. Hockey, you will never see that. Never see that. It's so important to these coaches, to these players, to have that same vibe you had when things were going good going
mm-hmm.
into the playoffs
yes.
and that momentum that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to help the Kings do that. We'll have more on that in a little bit. River Kings are in action this weekend, of course, in town for the next five games.
Mm-hmm.
Really, from the 11th and tonight, or on the 11th this weekend, they will be taking on the Hudson Havoc at the Southwood County Rec Center. Be sure to head on over there and show them what home ice advantage is.
Indeed.
How are you doing this morning?
I am doing just fine.
Yeah,
it's not it's not snowing,
yeah.
and that's always a plus for me.
And enjoy it while we can.
Yes, indeed.
Doesn't look like, according to Paula, we're just getting slush. We're not really getting snow.
We're not getting a bunch of snow again, yeah. But not that it's stuff we want either.
No, not at all. No. I'll tell you something we do want, pizza.
We all want pizza.
Mornings, afternoons, brunch, that is, dinner. Yes,
yeah.
pizza. And it is National Pizza Day, everybody.
Oh,
rejoice.
My gosh. Pizza Day.
I think some people in your house are going to be pretty happy about this.
Yes, they are.
They have little feet.
They're getting a lot bigger, though, those feet.
I imagine. Just overnight.
Yeah.
They just sprout. I forget about that, but you're so right. Yeah. Happy National Pizza Day, everybody. For some reason, there aren't a lot of deals out there this year, but there's a fun story that makes up the round, making the rounds.
Okay.
A personal trainer in the UK named Ryan Mercer just finished a 30-day pizza diet.
Oh, no.
Where he ate it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day for a month.
Oh, wow.
And he somehow managed to lose 7.5 pounds.
Wow. Whoa.
Because he's lying. No, I'm joking. No. I'm kidding. He ate other stuff, too, like protein bars when he needed a snack. But every meal was pizza. He averaged 10 slices a day, so 300 slices in 1 month.
Okay.
One reason he was still able to lose weight was he made every pizza himself at home.
There we go.
That's going to be a lot healthier.
It is, yeah.
Nothing against any of these great pizza chains out there. Mm. Not really, I guess maybe one or two I'm not a huge fan of, but
yeah.
Not any one that I can think of where I'm going to, no, I won't eat that pizza. I'm going to eat it.
Turn your nose up. This pizza is not good enough for me.
It is interesting to think of that, though, but he just made sure he still only ate around 2,000 calories a day.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. He says he did it to show people you don't have to sacrifice your favorite foods to lose weight.
There you go.
You can't overdo it. You just can't overdo it.
Yeah.
He was already in great shape before the diet, and he posted some before and after shots, and he does look a little more trim.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those. Now, he's already moving on to the next idea, the burger diet this month.
Oh, no.
He's eating burgers for every meal. Now, I've been doing this my whole life. I don't know what's such a big deal about this. I've always done this. I've either eaten pizza or burgers or pasta
every meal, yeah.
Or tacos for every meal.
Yeah, there you go.
since I was 13, this is all I've eaten. This goes back to something I think that we've actually talked about with the South Carolina YMCA recently with their dietitian, mm-hmm. and some others about where... You know, people that struggle to lose weight or people like myself that struggle to put on weight,
mm-hmm.
What do you do? How do you put on those pounds and everything? Well, just pounding down the food isn't going to do it.
No.
And the old wise tale of eating like pizza and ice cream and all that right before you go to bed, trust me, doesn't work that well.
He's tried it.
I've tried it. Again, since I was about 13,
yeah, that's right.
Football coach I had, every coach I had, my dad, my first coach, my dad, every one of them, mm-hmm. Trying to get me to do that and everything. It's all about metabolism. It's all about individual, you know, diets, yep. mm-hmm. individual bodies, what kind of shape you are in going into your diet,
mm-hmm.
and talking to a dietitian, talking to people, getting some feedback. I'm not saying that you got to go to some expensive new age guru or something like that. You can go over to our Southwick County YMCA.
That's right.
And talk to some people over there.
A lot of great people over there to help you out, yeah.
If you've got a physician, talking to your doc about mm-hmm. that stuff is really good, too. But you deserve to go into these situations with a game plan.
Yeah.
You deserve to go into it, with the best fighting chance you have.
Exactly. And the safest way of doing
yeah.
it as well.
Yeah, that,
we
that
have to
is
keep
important.
That in it's mind, pretty, too.
Should yeah. have mentioned that right away. Nicely done by you. That saves us from lawsuits.
Yeah, right.
Allegedly. We have to get an allegedly button, by the way.
Allegedly. Yeah,
whenever I'm in my Costner or anybody else rants, so I can allegedly. I can just hit that button over and over again.
You got to find a good one of those.
Save us from me. That's basically what we need to
do.
We do
a very sarcastic one. Allegedly.
Yeah, there we go. And that's what it'll be. That's what the sounder will be. For some reason, I feel like Mel doing allegedly is yeah. a good one. Her allegedly might work. I don't know. I don't think I've heard her say it, but, each each their own. And if you're out there trying to lose those pounds, good luck mm-hmm. With whatever battle you might be having. And enjoy pizza today.
Yeah.
Pizza's amazing.
See, you're going to be fine. If you just have a couple pieces of pizza, you'll be okay. You're fine.
On a side note, I had about two or three different comments and emails over the last 48 hours, 24 hours, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Time is a flat circle. about Joe Rogan and asking me if I was going to address Joe Rogan and his comments about Jews.
What?
And first off, no. this is the most I'll talk about it.
Yeah.
If you are surprised that he's anti-Semitic, I'm surprised you're surprised. he's kind of shown you his cards for quite some time
yeah.
now. And I don't really believe necessarily everything he says because he's an act. He's a bit. That's what
yeah.
guys like him do. He's looking to get you to talk about these things.
Yeah.
If you saw the interview where he's referencing this, the woman that he's talking to is talking about Israel. He's talking about Jews. So he's not a good interviewer, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be mean about that. I'm working at interviewing. I have a lot to grow mm-hmm. as an interviewer. But he has no, like, he's not good at this. And if, when you when you're not good at something, and all you care about is headlines and the money you're collecting, which he's collecting a lot more than I am.
He's collecting several
bills. He's a lot more popular than I am. But it's kind of pointless. And to also speak to those people, do you realize how much of this I deal with on a daily to monthly to weekly basis? I got no time for these people. Like, if Joe Rogan walked in here right now, I wouldn't blink at him. I couldn't care less about him or his opinions. He's welcome to them. He's an American. I encourage him to have his opinions, whatever they are. Yeah. I don't really care. What I care about is Miss Fact.
Yeah.
His comment about Jews liking money. Have you ever met somebody that didn't like money, Seth? Any creed, any religion, anything?
Yeah, just money to live. I mean, it's like, yeah, do you like to eat? It's like asking, do you like clothing?
Yeah.
Do you like shelter over your head? Well, yes.
How do you feel about breathing?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, that's about the same way I feel about any of that.
So
that was my comment on that. Pointless. Well, if you want to waste your time on them, go right ahead.
To the point, I hadn't heard anything about it. Because I don't pay attention to Joe Rogan.
Well, and this is the thing, is that his numbers are dropping. He's been dropping as a status symbol
exactly.
And all these things. So this is, shocker, this is what he does.
The fad of the week is going the way the fads usually go.
Yep.
He's just going back to what he was doing before. Yeah, I don't know.
What I do know is some random facts about pizza.
No, that's... Yum.
Little pause in the action there. We go right back to pizza. See? Perfect segue.
Perfect segue.
About 350 slices of pizza are consumed every second in the U.S.
Wow.
That seems high.
That
seems 350 slices a second.
That actually, I totally believe that.
It doesn't seem too surprising.
Ever walked around, which I know you haven't done, if you've ever walked around the streets of New York City.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You will find in every little spot, every building has at least one little teeny pizza place in there with their $1 slice of pizza or whatever it is these days. I don't know what it costs, but it's cheap, you know, and it's the big New York slices kind of thing. So most of it's pretty good, I got to say.
I'm going to lose some people and maybe even lose some of my Chicago people out there right now.
Oh.
But I say, because this battle of New York and Chicago pizza, or the idea that Chicago is known for their flat, you know, pizza, deep dish, whatever you want to call it. I don't care because I don't like it. It's soup. It's soup that's lying to you that's calling itself pizza. Let New York have it. Let New York have the pizza thing. Do they have another food they're really known for? No.
Not really.
Not really. And Chicago should be known for Italian beef anyway.
Like, yeah,
that's
exactly
what we make better than anybody else.
You're right.
Like, that's what we should be known for. Let them have pizza. Let the little kids have their pizza. They need to be think they're the big shots and they're the biggest city in the world and all this. And we all understand by now that not as much as they used to be. So go ahead and let them have the pizza. Let them have it. They need it. Like, have you seen their sports teams? Have you like mine or any mine or worse? What am I talking about?
Yeah,
that was no shot. That was a boomerang that flew right back at me. 93% of Americans order a pizza at least once a month. Pepperoni is America's favorite pizza topping because we're smart. It's good. That is some good stuff, right?
That is tasty.
Let's see here. Pizza consumption is highest during big days.
Makes sense.
Super Bowl and that. Actually, pizza is pretty popular on holidays as well, it looks like. I could see that.
It's so easy to not just, you know, even if you're going to make it yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you can easily get a pie crust. You can put some sauce on it, put some toppings. It's super easy, and the cleanup's quick. It's just all around. It's a great food.
It really
you eat
is.
It with your hands. I mean,
yes,
come on.
Yes. Not a lot of utensils.
Yeah,
not
you don't
a lot
need
of cleanup.
Like
yeah,
a pizza cutter. That's all you need, right? That's it.
I think this part is where it gets a little more interesting, maybe. Pizza may be an international favorite today, but it has its origins as a last resort meal for low-income families in Naples.
Mm.
And a shout-out to Naples, where my ancestors are from. Basil in Naples, I should say.
They
ended up in Venice. While pizza today is enjoyed by people across different classes of society, it was a meal reserved for low-income people who were trying to cut back on costs.
Mm.
It was an easy and cheap meal. Families would prepare the dough and top it off with cheese and tomatoes.
Mm.
According to researchers, people thought that tomatoes were poisonous during this period. This was why pizza was reserved for low-income families.
Yes.
Wow.
We'll give them the poisonous food.
Jeez.
That's brutal.
You wonder where Eat the Rich came from.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, they started it. Dang.
But that, if you think about, like, you know, Italian food in general, you know, the more expensive parts of it, the pasta and stuff, that totally makes sense because it's basically bread and a few things on top. Yeah.
Yeah. And so many popular meals started out this way.
You're so right.
Every creed has something like this in their culture that has a soup, a gumbo, a rice meal.
Yeah.
India has tons of them.
Yep.
Ways to get by. Well, how are you going to survive?
Yep.
People are going to find a way.
You know, in America, think about hot dogs. You know, they were the thing that everyone ate at, you know, baseball games. That's where they were invented, you know, at public events. And then they became, you know, one of the staples of our society, culturally or culinarily. Culinarily? Is that a word?
Yeah, sure. I like it. I say go with it.
All right.
Yeah. New York City was home to the first pizzeria in the U.S. Another reason to give it to them. There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
The founder of Big Mario's Pizza, Mario, learned his trade in the pizzeria of New York City. And it was the first one.
Oh, Big Mario. Mm-hmm. What a great name.
That's a great
name. Perfect name for the first pizza place.
And pizza became popular in the U.S. after World War II. Although pizza was widely sold in the U.S. From the early 1900s, it only became popular after World War II. This was likely because of the large number of U.S. soldiers stationed in Italy. These soldiers grew to like pizza and helped to make the dish more popular as they influenced people on the return. My papa would talk about how many soldiers came back knowing not just loving pizza, how to make it.
Yes.
You had no internet to look this up. You didn't have a recipe to write down, stash in your pocket. You know, soldiers couldn't exactly do a lot of that stuff. So they would make it, memorize it, and come back with these meals and interesting way of making these things. And that's part of the reason why you have different versions, because you've got soldiers from all over the U.S.
Yep.
So you got people landing in this city.
Trying variations on it. Yep. Yep.
Working with the ingredients they have in the South, they have in the East, they have in the West, all that. So it's just very cool, the history of pizza. There's certain foods that I'll admit are a little boring if you read the origin stories of or whatever, but like there's certain ones that are just fascinating to me. I still go back to this, the cookie wars that happened with Nabisco and all that, and this really interesting,
fascinating stuff.
If anything, because of the inventions that they invented from that.
Yeah.
How do I get my cookie from, you know, Wisconsin to Wyoming?
Mm-hmm.
I got to make sure that it's packaged. Okay, well, the barrel didn't work because by the time it gets there, some animals or insects have gotten in there or whatever, and coming up with stationary paper, you know, just paper, what do you call wax paper, or
wax
whatever,
paper, yep,
to transfer and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the invention of that, so that this other invention could happen. It's just very cool, very interesting. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back with our National Day of calendar and wrap up a little bit less. We'll tell you. We already told you about Pizza Day.
Right?
We'll get to the rest of our National Day of calendar. Before we do that, though, Seth, I want to do something I don't believe we have done very often on this show.
What's that?
Let's give something away right now.
Right now?
How would you like to go to see your River Kings for free?
He's mad. I tell you.
I am mad, and I am going to give away River Kings tickets right now. 424-2600.
Right.
Call up if you would like to win some River Kings tickets. All you got to do is call up, basically.
Just call up.
Tell us your favorite hockey player. It could be a mascot. It could be a team. Just give me some kind of... You could say puck. slap shot. I don't care. Call up at 424-2600. Let us know. We'll let the audience know when we come back from break. 424-2600. You want to win a pair of River Kings tickets. Be sure to get yourself some more tickets and fill up the South Luke County Rec Center. Let us show these other teams what home ice advantage is.
Mm-hmm.
Lose your voice like I did at the South Luke County Rec Center, cheering on your Kings as they build hockey up and down the river. You can go find out more by going to riverkingshockey.com. Take a break, come back, have some more fun in the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you, and we're just talking to our new friend, Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Won herself some River Kings tickets.
Yes, indeed.
Kim picked the River Kings mascot, which was a great choice.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's
really perfect. Good choice. Because of that choice, and because Kim was so cool to call in here, I was going to give her two. Seth, I'm going four.
Let's
I'm giving
four.
Her four tickets.
Let's get more people in that
yes,
place.
Yes, giving her four tickets to go see her River Kings. These tickets are good for any home game of the River Kings in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to get there to fill up the Southfield County Rec Center. Support our Kings. That is just how easily your tickets can multiply.
That is
just
correct.
Like that.
I haven't gotten to mine yet. I haven't used my tickets. I think the 17th is when we're planning on going to the River Kings game. Awesome. I haven't been to I have not been to a live hockey game in so long. It's like, I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun.
I love, there's no sport I don't love. I'm a sports junkie. I admit it. I wholeheartedly do.
Yes.
But I will say that there's nothing like hockey. There's
no.
I think I would have a hard time saying to somebody, you go to a baseball game, and if you don't know anything, I'm not sure if you're going to enjoy yourself. I think you can because of all the in-between inning stuff and everything.
Yeah.
Football, you know, pretty. I think football seems pretty self-explanatory for the most part.
For the most part, yeah.
For a lot of it, at least. Hockey, basketball, very similar. Mm-hmm. But hockey, man, you don't even have to know anything about hockey. You'll go there and you'll become a hockey fan before you leave.
That's right. That's right. Give it a chance, everybody.
Shout out to Kim. We appreciate you and appreciate all the best listeners and radio out there. Thank you so much, guys. Let's dive into our National Day of Calendar for this February 9th, 2023. And it is, let's see here, it is National Toothache Day. That's messed up. Why? Why would we?
Toothaches don't need their own day?
No.
Come on now.
I will say I have had more fights than I can count before I was 13. I've been sliced. I've had bullets graze me, had broken bones, all these things. I would take on them all before tooth pain. Hate tooth pain. Hate it. Hate tooth pain.
Wow, that's saying something, man.
Yeah, no. Tooth pain, no. Miss me. No.
So it's interesting. They don't call it like National Toothache Awareness Day.
Yeah.
It's just that, are we supposed to have toothaches today? Are we celebrating toothache? What is the deal with National Toothache Day?
I hate toothaches so much, I was just going to move on. I didn't want to get into your
I'm just, my curiosity is peaked. Right. Yeah.
You should check it out. Toothaches are no fun. Yeah, obviously. So this day is certainly not about celebrating the dreaded toothache.
Okay.
Instead, National Toothache Day is actually more about education and awareness. It's about helping people learn how to prevent toothaches from happening to begin with, and how best to make them go away quickly.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, I have this awareness day whenever my teeth hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
Already happened.
I'm very aware of my toothache right now.
I like this next one. National Read in the Bathtub Day.
That's a good one.
I've never done that, but I've heard of people doing it, and it does sound awesome. It does sound very, you know,
it's very relaxing. I have done that in the past, correct? And it's nice just to relax. It's kind of a sanctuary, you know, like for a few minutes anyway. You get a nice... relax, read a book, feeling good.
There are certain things I was talking about this the other day, about being the first person to realize something, you know? Mm-hmm. The first person to take chocolate syrup and put it in milk and be like, oh my God, this is I got to tell people about this. This is amazing. This milk chocolate is awesome. Well, I think chocolate milk sounds better. This chocolate milk sounds awesome. How about the first person to sit in the tub, you're laying there and you're a little bored, and you're like, well, maybe I should read a book. a book or light a candle. Like, that seems like a great invention to come across.
Now I'm thinking of like some ancient Greek person sitting in the tub reading, but they've got scrolls. You know, they don't have books. It's a little harder to read in the tub when you've got scrolls.
Five candles. And somehow still soft jazz playing in the background.
Yeah, there is still smooth jazz going on.
Smooth jazz is going out of the back.
Maybe Dave Koz is just wailing away.
Dave Koz reference. Oh, I didn't have that.
Been able to do that for a while.
Morning show bingo. I didn't have that. I didn't know that was good. If you could get this in today, enjoy it. Maybe good to have after your pizza today. That might be good.
We got to clean up anyway.
It is National Pizza Day, just to remind everybody of that one. We kind of covered that. I don't think National... Now, I feel bad for pizza a little bit, though, because it's also Chocolate Day.
Mm. All right, who decided this?
Yeah.
The Chocolate and Pizza Day were on the same day? Come on now.
I don't like that combination.
No.
I don't think that's good. I think that sounds mean to both parties.
Yeah.
Chocolate and pizza. Neither of them asked for this.
No.
Many, many chocolate lovers will rejoice today. Chocolate lovers will say that the history of chocolate is directly related to the history of the happiness of humans. For thousands of years, cocoa beans have been enjoyed and appreciated for their incredible benefits. Mm-hmm. Originally embedded in as a bitter beverage. We've talked about the history of chocolate now a million different ways.
Yeah, we have.
Chocolate, hot chocolate, hot cocoa.
Yep.
I think we've covered that by now.
I think so, yeah.
But, I am a big lover of chocolate. I will admit. I feel like they could have moved these, you know?
I guess the chocolate one I understand because Valentine's Day is coming up. Mm-hmm. That's kind of understandable, but... Still, there are 365 days in a year. You don't have to have them on the same day. Come on now.
I don't, especially two big ones like that.
Exactly.
Like pizza and chocolate.
Especially in America where they're both very popular, you know?
Not too sure that was a smart move. Don't like that. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back. And when we get back, we've got a study about commuting to work. We'll talk a little bit about that. When we get back here on The Morning Show after Melissa's news, take a listen to that here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Oh, the heat is on. Soundtrack King.
The sax solo is on again.
Yeah, the sax solo. 80s soundtrack king, I should
say. There you
go,
yes.
Nobody ran. I don't think Kenny Loggins really had to come out with music. He just came out with soundtracks.
Basically.
Like,
for a while there, he was like the first guy they called, I think. It's like, hey, we're doing this movie and we need a song for it.
He had an embargo where producers, because back then they had like a handful of producers for these things.
Mm-hmm.
And they would all, you're actually kind of right, they would all reach out to Kenny Loggins first. He didn't do every movie, obviously. But like when they couldn't get him, they'd get Starship. Or something like that.
Maybe Berlin or something
Yes. This is an interesting study we came across. After a year of the pandemic, experts noticed that a lot of people working from home missed commuting. A study found it might have to do with something called liminal space.
Liminal space, okay.
Liminal space. Basically, it means transitional time when there's a break from work stress and life stress.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you get time to yourself to unwind a little bit.
Right.
Researchers tested the theory with a bunch of commuters, and in general, longer commutes gave people more time to relax and detach from everything.
Wow.
You just have to avoid thinking about work or stressful stuff at home. Instead, they say to use that time to do things like call a friend or listen to your old friend radio.
Yes, you should listen to your old friend radio.
Why not? Why not? We're right there.
Just exactly. Flip it on, right?
It's even easier if you put us on your favorites. Boom, right there, 97.5. Easily done.
Very easy.
Did that come across bias at all?
Yeah, no, well.
They do suggest the radio here in the article, to be fair. For people who work from home, they say it might be a good idea to manufacture your own sort of commute, like taking a 15-minute walk before and after work each day. That's a good idea.
Actually, that's a pretty good idea. I like that one.
We all have errands. Use that as an excuse.
Yes.
I got to go run to the store to get some errands or get some done on that commute to the store and from back from the store. I find music to be a good one here. And talk radio.
No. He won't give up. He just doesn't give up.
No, I really do. I think that's the music is one of those things that really can be great.
Yes.
I only listen to like one or two stations. I like 89.9, the college station here in town. And I listen to WPR. I listen to Wisconsin Public Radio a bit. And obviously our civic media stations.
Right.
When I'm flipping through that stuff, I don't know. That flows like music to me. I'm just kind of going from conversation to conversation like I am hit song to hit song kind of thing. For me, that works just as well. For others, I think music does work a lot better because it really gets you away out of your own head.
Right.
You know? Music is a time machine. Oftentimes, you're listening to something and chances are it's not the newest, greatest song or whatever.
Yeah.
And it can take you back to a moment. So you're not just being detached from your current situations, current stresses. You are time tripping to another time being hit over the head with nostalgia.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of advantages to that detachment, that
there
break.
Is. And I it's interesting as someone who has had throughout his working career mostly had to have really long commutes. This is by far the shortest distance I've ever had to go to a job. And I think about the good stuff about it, and there were good things about it. There's also the downside, because there is a downside to long commutes too. I mean, it's a lot of wasted time, in my opinion, in terms of, you know, you're just in a car driving. There's the expense of gas. There is the, you know, the pollution aspect of that, you know, putting more emissions into the air kind of thing. So there's ups and downs about it. But I do have to say there is something good about that, about being able to especially not so much going to work, because they don't really talk about going to work in a commute. You have to get up earlier and all this stuff. But coming home from it, yes, it does help. It really does.
I'm a crazy person because I love working in the city. I love working in Chicago. And I didn't mind traveling until I got to Chicago. I was living in DeKalb, so I'd travel about 20 minutes over to Geneva to get on the Amtrak to get to Chicago.
Right.
That trip to Geneva on the Amtrak to Chicago, loved it.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
It reminds me now, my current equivalent of that is now traveling the point and taking the back roads.
Yeah.
I love the trip. I love the view and all that.
Very cool, yeah.
But once I got to the city, it felt like wasted time because there's start, stop. You know, we're looking for just to get like 20 minutes downtown sometimes was a headache.
Yeah.
Not every day, but there were plenty of days that were like that. And that felt like wasted time to me.
Yeah.
Then I was stressing about work. I was stressing about being late or something like that. But on the commute part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Traveling now, I don't have as far to go. Mm-hmm. So I don't have as much of a break from that.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of time by myself. And that gets frustrating, being honest.
Yeah.
And I think every human being needs that.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a difference, though, of like, because most of my commutes were, you know, in the Midwest. So it's not like I had traffic I had to deal with. It's different when it's like a straight drive.
Yeah.
Instead of having to do the start-stop thing of being stuck in a big city in traffic. That's very different. That's much more stressful.
When our GLX first moved to Plover and traveling from Rapids to Plover, that's how that felt.
Yeah.
It's not a bad trip.
No.
It doesn't take forever. It's not even a bad necessarily view. It's just there ain't a whole lot to look at. There ain't a whole lot to take in.
Yeah.
And especially after you've done it a couple of times, it's just like, this trip again.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that there's so many people out there that can relate to this.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it helps you to find a silver lining in this, that you do get this, because they are saying that this is incredibly good for your mental health.
Yes, I can see that. And for most of my longer commutes, I was, you know, I didn't live with anyone else. I was by myself. So there wasn't like I was, you know, going home to someone that I needed to, you know, relax and get to that for. It was just me anyway. So, you know, there's the upsides and the downsides of it. But I like what they're saying here, because that's time that you can use, you know, to like unwind a little bit, deflate a little bit kind of thing. So
I promise I'm going somewhere with this. I've always made fun of my father for having no filter.
Mm-hmm.
My dad is the guy that will go up to somebody and say, "Man, I love that shirt." I'm like, "Dad, do you know I don't know that person." That kind of thing. Like things like that. He's never had a filter.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that I'm getting older, becoming more and more like my father.
Isn't that funny how that works?
I was just about to mention, I'm going to do it now because I already went this far with it. But I almost just blurted it.
Oh.
What you're talking about there. Well, when I was this trip I was talking about, going back from forth to Chicago, the trip back, I dragged that out as much as I could. I did not necessarily want to go back to that apartment.
There you go. Yeah.
Roommate and I at the time didn't exactly get along.
Oh, that's always rough.
It was rough.
That's
it was
rough. I've had that too. So yeah,
I could have actually said that a lot worse with a lot less tact. Thanks, Dad. Yeah. Thanks, Dad. Take a break here before I get myself in more trouble.
He's the what not to do example, right? Yeah.
yes.
Don't do what I'm doing.
We'll come back and have some more fun with a couple of interesting articles. We're going to talk self-driving cars when we get back here on the morning show, WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Appreciate the updates. Make sure to stick with us here. At the top of the hour, we'll have CBS News, even if it is yesterday CBS News. Maybe you missed it. Maybe you did. You need a reminder. Our friends at CBS are struggling right now.
They're having some issues.
Yeah. But figuring it out. After that, we will be joined live and direct by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. We're usually a Paul Trombley join us. Looking forward to getting an update and finding out how much of this this snowy stuff we're going to get. Mm-hmm. I almost said furry stuff because I'm locked in on the pet of the week in the 9 o'clock hour.
Of course you are.
It's all that I'll be thinking about until Madison brings one of those guys in.
Shout out
to our friends at Southwick County Rec Center. Or Southwick County Humane Society. Self-driving cars, Seth. These are becoming more and more of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like driving.
Okay.
I enjoy it. Right. I don't mind long trip, short trip. I like driving. I think it's my papa in me. My papa was a truck driver for 40 years, loves driving, mm-hmm. misses it all the time.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if there's something that to it or anything. So I don't have a lot of interest in the self-driving car or the parallel parking car or anything. I will say I do think that those screens are pretty cool, where you can see behind you.
Yeah, those I think are a good safety thing, for
that
sure.
That seems pretty cool.
Yeah.
That seems like every vehicle going forward,
I think
put them in, you know?
Yeah.
Some people don't handle change well, so self-driving cars are going to be a problem. Not because of the cars themselves, but because we'll need to add a fourth color to traffic lights.
Huh?
Yeah, researchers from North Carolina State University are suggesting that we eventually add a fourth white light. Oh, because that won't be hard to see.
Jeez.
Although the color doesn't really matter.
Sun is shining out. I have trouble seeing it now.
Yeah, right? The idea is that as more and more automated cars are on the streets, they'd be able to commute with each other. And the traffic lights to coordinate that that optimal, most effective traffic flow.
Okay.
More efficient traffic flow is what they're trying to say.
Yeah, exactly.
So no more stopping for a few minutes at a red light when no one is coming. This would just mean that, you know, the cars are communicating, so
right.
I know there's no other car there.
Yes.
The white light would indicate to human drivers that there are enough automated vehicles in the area to navigate intersections on their own. And that you should just follow the lead of the car in front of you. If they stop, you stop. If they proceed through the light, you do too. Just pretend you understand all this, everybody.
Jeez.
Just go ahead and nod your head at your radio.
Oh, no.
If this ever happens, it's a long ways off.
Oh, yes.
How far off, you may ask? Seth and I are in our... You're in your 40s? Or,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're both in our 40s. Mm-hmm. We'll be done driving by the time this actually happens, I think. If it happens. a decent chunk of cars on the streets would have to be automated for it to work.
Yep.
I will push back on one thing.
All right.
The idea that we couldn't wrap our brains around this. I'm a little tired of that. The idea of whether it's Hollywood or it's a politician telling me, well, we can't have new movies. Hollywood can't do new movies. We can't have heavy concepts. American audiences can't understand this. Don't dumb things down to me. Don't tell me I'm stupid without telling me I'm stupid.
Come on.
And the idea, we can't have ranked choice voting. It'd be too many choices for Americans. Americans already have enough troubles with the deciding between two parties. It'd be too many. Get the miss me with that. Americans are incredibly intelligent.
Oh, come on.
Maybe we don't choose to use our intelligence all the time. Maybe we pick and choose where to put our intelligence, but we are intelligent human beings.
I love how they always draw the wrong conclusions. Like Hollywood.
Yes.
Hollywood always draws the wrong conclusions of successful things, right? Well, it happens like the example you did, ranked choice voting, okay? Mm-hmm. Yes. It's like people have a hard time deciding the two people. That's because they're busy thinking, okay, which one do I hate least?
Yes, exactly.
If you gave me a candidate that I really was excited about voting for, hey, maybe then it would work. And then the whole ranked choice thing would be even better.
Maybe if you make these guys have to fight for what they're saying and not their party.
Mm.
You know?
Or whoever's giving them money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we may actually know who we're voting for and actually what we're voting in.
That'd be great.
And the same thing with the Hollywood thing. Where, mm-hmm. I mean, you give people, go ahead. We've seen this. We have proof that intelligent movies do well
in
movies, you know? Yeah. Schindler's List, was that a box office flop? Even a movie that I don't like a Titanic, mm-hmm. has history to it and everything.
Yeah.
Was it a rom-com, a glorified rom-com?
Yeah.
Yes. But it had some structure to it. It had some history to it and everything.
Yeah.
We have plenty of proof that people can think. So the idea that we couldn't wrap our minds around this seems a little insulting to me.
Well, think of all we have to do right now just to drive.
Yeah.
Think about all the stuff going on in the car, outside the car. Look at all that we have to do now. Adding like one or two things, we can handle that, okay?
Our troubles with driving usually, if not always, are self-inflicted.
Exactly.
Now, we already have a lot of accidents, a lot of these things in driving. For one, I would push back on that the numbers are actually impressive to me because we have so many people driving and we have not as many accidents as I would expect on a national average.
Relatively speaking, yes.
Relatively speaking. And certainly, you know, different areas, different situations. Mm-hmm. But the problem with driving is usually the driver and the person that mm-hmm. drinks before they drive or
distracted,
looking at their phone when they're mm-hmm. driving. So these are self-inflicted wounds.
Exactly.
They don't have to do with intelligence of the masses mm-hmm. in individual case basis.
Exactly.
Like anything else that we could talk about. Yeah. There's knuckleheads in every field. That kind of thing. I don't know that this is going to necessarily get there because, for one, I don't think people are as quick to want to give up the wheel as many people might think.
I think that's true, for sure.
Whether we're talking about people that are making vehicles or tech, the Hollywood game, mm-hmm. the political game, there's a theme there with all those. Mm-hmm. People that are having money in their pocket and being told, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of, but also people in bubbles. And
oh yeah,
you know, not being told what they want to hear a lot of the time, mm. and not listening to the masses, listening to people,
yeah,
just hearing a bunch of yes men tell them what they want to hear and stuff. That I don't care what your message is, even if it's the message that we all want to hear, even if it's, you know, oxygen is good. Propaganda is propaganda. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
You don't get to change the definitions of words just because of what you're preaching might be a little bit different.
Right. Exactly.
This is interesting. There is a new pill, a new vibrating pill, and you lost me at vibrating pill.
What? Huh?
I haven't even gotten into what it's for or why you would take it. Just what? Vibrating pill freaks me out.
There's something weird about that.
I'm not great at taking pills and medications anyway. I've never liked taking aspirin and all that stuff. So I'll admit that in the forefront all here. Right. My journalistic integrity is out the window. This is so simple, it's kind of brilliant. There is a new pill to treat constipation, but it doesn't contain any drugs. Instead, it just vibrates. The brand name is Vibrant. Jeez.
Oh, man. God. What are many marketing guys it took to figure that one out?
Time out. Because I want to do a reenactment now of that marketing meeting.
Of that meeting? Okay.
I got this great idea. It's a vibrating pill. It's going to help people with constipation, something that, you know, affects literally everybody. Everybody has dealt with constipation at some point. So everybody's going to love this pill. But we got to come up with a good name. Vibrato. Vibration. The Vibrinator. You know, we're going to get in trouble if we go too far with this.
Yeah, exactly.
Good morning to the FCC.
It's a back massager. Come on,
vibrates is just lazy.
Vibro. It sounds like a villain, like a super villain.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like a 60s Batman villain after they ran out of the you know, when they got towards the end of the run of the show after the Penguin, the Batman, or the Riddler, all the good ones are used up.
Yeah, right.
And you got the great Vincent Price coming in is what the Eggman or
he was can't remember.
He was like Eggman or he was like literally an egg or something. Like, I don't know.
Whatever.
Make whatever. Who's the guest star this week, Charlie? Huh? Oh, make him an egg. I don't know.
It's Condiment Man, which is not a joke, by the way. No, there is a Condiment
Man.
There is
a Condiment Man.
Yes, there is. Anyway, sorry.
This is what they came up with, Vibrates. And it gets even better. The brand name is Vibrant. The FDA approved the pills in August, and they just became available as a prescription this week.
Okay.
You take one pill each night before bed, and the vibration stimulates nerve cells in your gut that helps you go.
Okay. Interesting.
You have to activate each pill before you swallow it. Then it vibrates for about 2 hours, stops for 6 hours, and then starts vibrating again for another 2 hours.
Oh, no. Oh, that sounds weird.
They buzz for 3 seconds at a time, followed by a 3-second pause. Doctors tested it on 200 people who suffered from persistent constipation, mm-hmm. meaning fewer than three bowel movements a week. 40% Whoa. Said it helped them go at least one additional time per week. There was also less strained involvement, strain involved with it. Some people could feel the pills vibrating inside them, but said it wasn't uncomfortable or painful. They currently cost $69 a month, and they aren't covered by any insurance yet.
Of course not.
Of
course they're not.
I want to know about how many times people are going to forget to turn it on before they swallow it, and then have to take another one because they forgot to swallow it.
Oh, no.
How quickly some fool takes too many of these just to see, like, I want to make my stomach make, rumble. The weirdo that does that or whatever.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
and $69? Like, I don't know. There's a lot of home remedies that seem to work for people that I feel like are a lot cheaper. And this idea of the coming out with more and more medications to help us with things is great. That's what science is for. I love it. I think that's very cool. We live in a day and age where we have vibrating pills, Seth. That's kind of interesting and kind of unique. Very few people are actually going to get to experience or find out if this would work for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that last sentence of this, it isn't covered by insurances yet.
Yep, you're right.
We continue, almost no matter what the story is, we continue to run back into this wall that we have been running into for 50, 60 some years in this country that other countries do not have an issue with.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't seem to bring it. It seems like whenever time we bring attention to this, we get shouted down. Mm-hmm. How many times to longtime listeners out there do you hear me go, USA, USA? Mm-hmm. Yep. I am a homer. I love this country. I'm not only a proud American, I'm a lucky American. I wouldn't survive in a lot of other countries. You listen to me talk. How long do you think I'd make it in China? Like, I'm a very proud American. But part of being proud of our country is holding it accountable,
mm-hmm.
holding it for what it is. When I love somebody, do I just love them unconditionally? Yes. But that also comes with accountability. I hold my dad accountable. I hold my mom accountable to things because I love them. Mm-hmm. If I didn't love them,
you wouldn't even care, right?
Yeah. Right. When you really love something, that's what it means.
Mm-hmm.
It means you go all in. It mm-hmm. means that you hold it a mirror up to it. You hold it accountable.
Right.
And one thing we do not do nearly enough is hold ourselves accountable for the way we have let things get way out of hand with these insurance companies.
Yep.
And the way that they hold our lives in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Think yep. of that. They hold our lives in their hands. These people, that yep. all they care about is money.
They do.
I'm not talking about doctors and nurses, people in the field. I'm mm-hmm. talking about the actual companies, the CEOs, the people that are in charge of this. Mm-hmm. Not the scientists making these pills. No scientist ever made a pill and said, this is going to make me a lot of money.
No.
Like, no. They made this pill to heal people, to help people, right. all that.
Which most of, by the way, is publicly funded. The research for most of this stuff that is then later sold back to us for a gajillion dollars.
And the thing that I think people don't miss a lot of times on, it's too heavy, it's too complicated.
No, it's not.
We could actually take care of this within 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Easy.
As soon as we start holding politicians accountable, mm-hmm. that would pass laws to hold these businesses accountable,
yes.
and get the money out of those the money from those businesses out of the politicians' pocket.
Yep.
There we go. Done. Done. And before you know it, all of a sudden, bill after bill is passed to hold things in mm-hmm. check. Like, you can't raise this.
Yeah.
You can't raise up this pill. Mm-hmm. You have to let this in your insurance, mm-hmm. under this insurance umbrella, yep. et cetera, et cetera.
And this what you're talking about of basically campaign finance reform, this is a nonpartisan issue.
Yeah.
90-some% of Americans, both sides, any kind of political spectrum, believe money should not be involved in politics. Simple as that.
Quit voting these people in.
Yeah.
It's up to you. It's in your hands. It's not in theirs. They've proven they're puppets. Mm-hmm. They've shown that. There's no self-thought there. They're puppets. So it's up to us with brains to actually do this.
Let's do it.
Vote people in, be informed, and maybe we'll have some better insurance. We can all have vibrating pills. Take a break.
That's our dream. Yes.
It's the real true American dream right there. Take a break. We'll come back with CBS News and our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center here at the mornings on WFHR.